for honoring us with your presence this morning, and for bringing us together through your wisdom. Father, we are grateful to you. Accept our thanks in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Lord, as we have come unto you this morning, even to hear your word, I pray, O Lord, let every one of us encounter you, even through your words this morning in Jesus' name.
Amen.
The Bible says, they that know their God, they shall be strong and they shall do exploit. Father, as we hear your word this morning, give us a deeper knowledge of you in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Father, let there be a transformation, Lord, in our lives in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Paul said that I may know you. Father, as we hear your word this morning, help us to know you better in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Let every one of us, O God, have divine encounter with you this day in Jesus' name.
Amen.
The Bible says the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me. He has anointed me to preach good tidings to the poor, to heal the broken and to set the captive free. Father, I pray this morning, O God, by your Spirit, let the captive be set free in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Heal everyone, O God, that is brokenhearted in Jesus' name. Lord, open the prison doors, even to those who are in bondage in Jesus' name. Lord, save the unsaved in Jesus' name. Lord, restore the backsliders in the name of Jesus. Lord, heal everyone, O God, Lord, that is sick in one way or the other in Jesus' name. Because your words say you sent forth your words, and it heals us and it delivers from all our destruction. Lord, this is what we are asking from you this morning. Let your word bring healing in Jesus' name. And let it deliver from all manners of destruction in the name of Jesus. Father, above all, let us, O God, Lord, encounter you. Let us be like you in Jesus' name. Thereafter, we have come here, we have heard your word. By the time we leave here, let people see you, even in our lives in Jesus' name. Because the Bible says we should let our light so shine before all men, so that they may see our good works and glorify the name of our Father who is in heaven. Let it come to pass that people will see you, even through us, as we begin to engage ourselves with any other activity after this service in Jesus' name.
Amen.
And let it be so with us, O God, Lord, all the time in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Thank you, mighty Father. Lord, unto you I commit myself. The Bible says that you give me the tongue of the learned to know how to speak a word in season to him that is weary. Father, take over my tongue. And Lord, I ask that you give me tongue of the learned this morning in Jesus' name to speak your mind alone in the name of Jesus. Let nothing stand in the way in the name of Jesus. Jesus said, as he hear from his Father, so he speak. Almighty Father, open my ears to hear you and let me speak accordingly in Jesus' name. Let me be, O God, Lord, a useful vessel, even your hands in the name of Jesus, to pass across your message and your message alone in Jesus' name. Thank you, mighty Father. We are grateful unto you because you hear and answer prayer. For in Jesus' name we have prayed.
Amen.
In Jesus' name we have prayed.
Amen.
Again, we are all welcome in Jesus' name.
Amen.
So it is my prayer that the Almighty God will bless you even through his word this morning in Jesus' name.
Amen.
So this morning we're going to be listening to a message that is titled Understanding of the Times, of that understanding of the times. And some of us can begin to guess where that is taken from. First Chronicles chapter 12, verse 32. First Chronicles chapter 12, verse 32. That is where the title of the message is taken from. And it says, of the sons of Issachar, who had understanding of the times, to know what Israel ought to do. Their chiefs were 200, and all their brethren were at their command. Praise the Lord. I have a very strong feeling in my heart that many people don't understand the time that we are at all. And Jesus Christ made reference to this according to Luke chapter 12. If we read from verse 54 to 56, Luke chapter 12 from 54 to 56, say, then he also said to the multitudes, whenever you see a cloud rising out of the west, immediately you see a shower is coming. And so it is. And when you see the south wind blow, you say there will be hot weather. And there is hypocrites. You can discern the face of the sky and of the earth. But how is it you do not discern this time? Do not discern this time. Every child of God must be able to discern the time that we are. Every child of God. It's very, very important. If you are not able to discern the time you are, then you may be misled. You may be confused. That individual may be in crisis. All manner of things can begin to happen to that individual because he doesn't understand the time. Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 3 says, to everything there is a season, a time for every purpose under the heaven. So if the word of God says there is time for every purpose under the heaven, that means it is very important for every one of us to understand the time we have. To everything, everything under the heaven, there is time. That's what the Bible says, time for every purpose under the heaven. So that you are here at this time is not by an accident. So after you leave this place, you go to do whatever you want to do. It's not by accident. So every child of God must be able to discern the time. So you cannot just, walk aimlessly. You must understand the time. And the time that God is talking about here, he's not just talking about, what time is it? What time is it now? 10:48, 10:50. No, that's not what God is talking about here. God, if you look at that scripture very well, he said, the sons of Issachar, they have the understanding of the times. It was actually pluralized. It's not just singular. Pluralized times, not just one time. You must have the understanding of the times. And in relation to that, he said, they know what they ought to do concerning Israel. So time as in relation to what God wants you to do at any point in time, that you have an understanding of the time. You can discern it. You know what God wants you to do at any point. That is the kind of understanding these people they had. And that is what every child of God must have. You must have the understanding of the time. Praise the Lord. So I will give us a quick 30 testimony, short testimony. I might have shared some of these things in the course of the past message, one of the past messages. There was a brother who is very zealous for God at his place of his work. And he was talking to one of his co-workers almost unsuccessfully for a long time. But one particular day, as this brother was rushing out, out of the office to go and do legitimate work in church, he has an assignment to perform. And this co-worker just stopped him and said, okay, come and tell me about this Jesus you've been talking about. And the brother said, why is it now? I have an urgent assignment waiting for me. And that time there was no even cell phone, talking of many years back in Nigeria. So, and the brother said, what am I going to do? But he understands the urgency that is involved. He chose to just forget what that God will take care of that. That God that has arranged this, we know how to take care of that, so he's not going to bother himself. And he settled down with the brother. And he talked to the brother. The brother listened. And this is a person that never wanted to listen. Every attempt was unsuccessful. And he listened. He preached to him, and he led him to Christ. And this brother was so joyful. That at last, and the co-worker left, and he went home. As he was going, he was at the bus stop. A truck came and ran over him, and he died. He died right on the spot. And it was a painful loss to that brother who preached to him. But he was joyous that he knew that this one went straight to heaven. And he went for the funeral. When he got to the funeral, everybody was crying. And there was one sister who was crying, who was saying, I've tried to talk to him about Jesus. He will not listen. He was living a very useless life, and now he died as an unbeliever. And this brother had her, and he called her. He said, look, this is a testimony. I personally led him to Christ shortly before he died. This brother is in heaven. So your prayer, God answered your prayer. Your labor over her was not in vain. So he took him to heaven. Only God knows what would have happened. Maybe that brother would have backslid because the kind of life he was atheist. So he's somebody that nobody would have expected that would give his life to Christ, but he gave it. So what are we talking about? Understanding the time. That brother understood the time. It was the right timing. How has God positioned you, you know, to preach to a fellow human being? And then you say, well, not now. You don't know what is going to happen the next minute. You don't know. Again, another testimony. There's a young, very young lady who's looking for a job. And I told her, I said, just go around, submit your, you know, resume to places. And she went. On getting to some other places, they told her something different. But this particular place, she went there. And then she approached a lady. I'm looking for a job. And the lady was almost going to discourage her that, well, then another person just show up. He said, we need somebody. We need somebody. And to cut the long story short, the person was hired. So what are we talking about? Understanding the time. Timing is very, very important. If this young lady had gotten there maybe a few minutes before that time, she would probably have missed that opportunity. Or if she had gone there after, she would have missed that opportunity. Because somebody was going to turn her away, discourage her. Somebody just showed up. So what are we talking about here? Understanding the time. A child of God, you must understand the time you have. And your time must be in relation to what God is saying. And the Bible makes us to understand that the steps of a righteous are ordered by God. So in other words, if you are going to walk according to God's timing, let God order your step. Don't just walk around anyhow. At any point in time, wherever you are, make sure you are there according to the leading of God. When I was in Nigeria, I had so many close call to armed robberies. But one thing that was guiding me was this. The Bible says it will preserve my going out and my coming in, and it keep me both now and forevermore. One thing that was guiding me, I said, God, I have to go to work, so I'm in the right place. I'm doing my legitimate things. If you do not want me to go, you will not have given me this job. So I am saving your hand. And that was the case all the way through. I never had a single encounter. It will happen right in front of me. I will escape. Nothing will touch me. Two close call like that. They robbed somebody right in front of me, and I was right behind it. And I saw them pointing gun to somebody, leading him to their throne, to the throne. And after they finished, it was going to be my turn. But for some divine arrangement, the Holy Ghost carried my car and it was running with his speed. I don't know how that happened. The driver, the person beside me was saying, when he got to work the next day, it was one of our security officers that I gave a ride. He said, Mr. did ramble on the road today. I said, I didn't do any ramble. It was God. I did not know. I was shaking. I don't know how that happened. But I escaped. I do not know. Ordinarily, I would have just stayed there. But for some reason, I pressed the accelerator and I turned. The way just opened. There was a traffic. And that was how I just ran. I escaped. So I can recall a few occasions. Be in the right place at the right time. Understanding the time. A child of God, you don't just walk around carelessly. For the fact that everybody is going somewhere, you have to make sure you are there for a purpose. You have a mission there. And God wants you to be there. And if you are walking that way, it doesn't matter what is happening to other people. You will have, you know, that confidence in God. You have boldness that you are in the right place. Praise the Lord. Now, understanding different times. I'm just going to talk on one thing, and then we'll look at what are we supposed to do in situations like this. So I'm going to talk about perilous time. I'll just pick one, perilous time, because we don't have a lot of time. Perilous time. What is perilous? I know this is not Bible study. Can somebody just help us? What is the meaning of perilous?
Dangerous.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Dangerous, difficult. Yes, we are very cool. Yeah.
Troublesome,
risky. Thank you so much. I was expecting Sister Lawson to because the English teacher. Any other words? that is not among the one damaging. Praise the Lord. You know, I was curious. I just look at the meaning in the dictionary. It says, exposed to imminent risk of disaster. Peril. If you look at the word perilous, from peril, for people who study English. So, peril and perilous. Peril is the root, right? Yeah, so I don't want to go into that. I'm an engineer, so praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. So, what are we talking about here? Perilous come from the word peril. So, and that, you know, definition says exposed to imminent risk or disaster. Risk or disaster. So, disaster is about to happen. And that's why it's called perilous time. It is my prayer that you will not be part of it in Jesus' name. So, why do we need to talk about this? We need to know, we need to have this understanding. Because the Bible says the sons of Isaac, they have the understanding of the times. They know what they ought to do. So, when you have this understanding, then you will have to know what you are supposed to do to deal with it. But if you lack the understanding, you don't know what you are supposed to do. You have a key to open the door of your house in your pocket, and you forget that it is there. And then you stay in front of the house for several hours. The rain comes, it beats you there. That person will be called like a stupid person. Because you have the key in your hand. But you fail to have the understanding that the key is there. And then you are struggling, you are suffering. It's just not to be so. And that is the case of many believers. Who will lack the understanding and we are suffering. The Bible says, foolishness twists the heart of a man. Foolishness twists the way of a man. His heart frets against the Lord. So people do things and then they do it out of foolishness and they're angry against God because we lack the understanding. I pray that the Lord will give us understanding this morning in Jesus' name. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1 to 9. He said, but know this, that in the last days, perilous times will come. For men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, despiser of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying his power. And from such people, do what? Turn away. From such people, turn away. For of this sort are of those who creep into households and make captives of gullible women, loaded down with sins, led away by various lusts, always learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Now, as James and Jambres resisted Moses, so do these also resist the truth. Men of corrupt minds, disapproved concerning the faith, but they will progress no further, for their folly will be manifest to all, as they also was. Praise the Lord. That's what we're talking about here. Perilous times. Every child of God must understand that we're in a perilous time. We can't go through this list one by one, but I just want to quickly draw our attention to a few of them. Lovers of money. But again, when we're talking about perilous times, sometimes we think this is not in the church. It's right in the church. And that is why we're talking about this, so that you and I, we can use this to examine our lives. And begin to ask yourself, am I in this category? The Bible says, of such, turn away. So, meaning that you can do yourself, good by making a decision today, turning away from this thing, so that you will not be part of what God is saying here. And I pray that this will not be your portion, this will not be my portion in Jesus' name. Amen. Lovers of money, how do you place money? How do you place money? Do you love money more than God? The Bible says that the love of money is the root of all what? All evils. Sometimes it's easy for us to just quote this scripture, but in reality, when we look at our lives critically, we realize that many a time we tend to be loving money. We may not say it, but let's admit it for once. Money is good. The Bible says money answers all things, but don't love it. But God told us clearly in the book of Matthew 22, 37 to 39, you should love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your mind, with all of your strength. He said the second one is like it. Love your neighbor as you love yourself. He never said love money. Never. The only thing God said, love God. When you love God, all other things shall be added to what? To it. Love God. Every other thing shall be added unto it. Praise the Lord. Disobedient to parents, children, all of us, we are children. If you are disobeying God, you are disobeying your Heavenly Father. So it's not different from even the little children who are disobeying their parents. Even you as a parent is even worse. So the same way it is, are you disobedient in whatever category that you find yourself? Unforgiving. I was talking to a sister, my wife was there. And I was asking, when last do you hear about this brother, this family? He said, oh, when we meet, you know, when we meet in heaven, we'll meet at the feet of Jesus. And I shook my head. I said, you better be careful so that you will get there. Unforgiveness. You have one thing or the other against your brother. Go and deal with it. So don't say you'll meet at the feet of Jesus. The only qualification is to forgive. It doesn't matter what that person has done for you. Praise the Lord. Lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. We are in a time that people love pleasure so much, so much, so much. Where this is summertime, people begin to rationalize what they can do for God. Oh, it's time for me to enjoy myself. But when it is winter, do they even do anything for God as well? So, yeah, it's too cold. Complain. Summer, they are open up. At my place of work now, you see everybody, they want to go on vacation. It's good to go on vacation. I may call it going very soon by the grace of God. So, but however, you must place priority. Priority. So I'm not saying it's wrong. It's good. So people will give all manners of excuses. They will say they are sick. They will call it, they are not sick. They are lying. So some of them may be actually be sick, but many of them are not sick. They just want to enjoy themselves because it's a nice weather out there. Some, when it is winter, they do all manners of overtime available. When it is summer, they say no overtime. They want to enjoy themselves. Praise the Lord. Lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. Say from such people, turn away. Be careful. Don't do anything out of sentiment. You must understand the time that you are as a child of God. Don't let sentiment cut you off. Don't say you want to be, you don't want to be mean. So don't say you want to be nice. You can only be nice after you have pleased God. So not being nice at the expense of God. You are displeasing God and you want to please men. You are being nice to men and you are mean to God. No, not at all. Not at all. It cannot be at all. Praise the Lord. So do this also resist the truth? People are resisting the truth. Who are the people resisting the truth? People in the church. We are the most corporate resisting the truth. Because we hear the truth and we are resisting it. We rationalize it. We defend it in our own way. We talk about it. We explain it in different way. Why don't you just accept the truth and accept your fault and move on? The Lord will help us in Jesus' name. Amen. So we need to have the understanding of the time that we are. And as believers, where you need to know that you're in a perilous time. And if you're in a perilous time, there are things that God expects from you. And these are the things that we're going to quickly look at. What are we supposed to do in order to always discern the time that we are? What are we supposed to do? Should we just say it's a perilous time, we are helpless? No. God expects you to do something. You must be more vigilant. A child of God, you must be vigilant. You can't just live your life carelessly. You don't do things because everybody is doing it. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8, he said, be sober, be vigilant. Because of your adversary, who's moving around like a roaring lion, looking for whom to devour. For the fact that other people, they do it, they get away with it. Doesn't mean that you will do it and get away with it. And even the people you say they're getting away with it, you don't know what they're going through.
You're just making an assumption. One of my daughter classmates in grade 10, she committed suicide. And this is somebody that will post something in Facebook, always smiling and all of that. And she went to go and kill herself. So when people see the what she posted in social media, they will say she's a happy fellow. But they don't know what she's going through. So don't copy other people. You must be vigilant. Be vigilant. You are a child of God. Be vigilant. Understand that there's an adversary that is watching every step you are taking. But the Bible says that watch over you. Does not do what? Does not sleep nor slumber. So if you commit yourself into that person, he will watch over you. Because you're going to be in the right place at the right time. You are vigilant. Praise the Lord. Number two, you must rely more in the help of the Holy Spirit. Rely more in the help of the Holy Spirit. The Bible says, as men that labor by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Don't rely on your own strength. Don't be bragging. Don't be proud. Don't rely on your experience. Rely on God. Don't say, well, I've been doing it before. Humble yourself before God. John 14:26 say, but the helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you. So we have the Holy Spirit to help us. Let's develop a relationship with him. Let him guide us. And he will actually guide you. Time will not permit me to begin to share many experience, many testimony, and many of us, we have such testimony, how the Holy Spirit has helped us out in the time past. And he's there to help us. You have to develop that relationship with him. He will always be there. We are talking about how to, I don't want to, you know, start talking about what the youth are going to be talking about next Sunday, but your best friend is the Holy Spirit. Your best friend. Holy Spirit is your best friend. Jesus Christ said, I will give you that Holy Spirit. And that the relationship can become, you know, strong depending on how much time you put into it. Two people can become, close depending on how much time they put into it. If you don't invest into that relationship, you cannot be good friends. You have to. Husband and wife can only be close if they invest into that relationship. And that's why we see a lot of problems in marriages today. People are not investing into that relationship. The Lord will help us and give us understanding in Jesus' name. Amen. Meditate on God's promises daily. There are all manners of promises, you know, of God unto us. Meditate on it on a daily basis. Joshua 1, he said, this book of the law should not depart from your mouth. You should meditate on it day and night and observe to do according to what it is written therein. Then you make your way prosperous and have good success. Meditate. What do you meditate on? That's the truth. One of the challenges that we have in our time is what people are meditating on. Sometimes you go for an appointment. You just sit down. You have a lot of people sitting down. See what they are doing. And I said, what is this world turning to? Even if you want to talk to someone, then sorry, please don't disturb me. What are they doing? That's what they are meditating on. You see some people, they want to even cross the road. They did not even know what their vehicle is coming. Some have done this and they have gone, you know, just like that. What they are meditating, as a man thinking inside, so he is. What are you meditating on? You see a child. Praise the Lord. So you have to be careful about what you meditate on. People can be sending all kinds of things around social media. You know, people can forward a lot of things. Well, sometimes some people may not like it, but I don't respond to some of those things. I have to look at the one that is beneficial to me. So they can send all kinds of things around. So I don't want to waste my time in something. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Avoid destiny destroyers. Destiny destroyers. If you are, what are you supposed to do in order to always discern the time with her? You must avoid destiny destroyers. Bad companies, they are everywhere. They don't come and introduce themselves and say, I'm a destiny destroyer. In fact, they introduce themselves as good friend that care for you. They may even give you gift to lure you, to entice you. That's the way they operate. But I'll quickly give us some scripture. 1 Samuel 17. Because of our time, we will not be able to read everything. 1 Samuel 17, verse 28, tells us about the brothers of David. They discourage him. So what are we talking about here? They just look down on him. They discourage him. They use this small boy. We are talking about Goliath here, and you just keep quiet. Why did you even come here? What are you looking for? They try to discourage Destiny Destroyer. But David had an understanding of the time, as small as he was. So don't let anybody despise you. Are you a young person in this, you know, auditorium? Don't let anybody. You can have understanding of the time, even more than some parents. You have understanding of that. David had an understanding of this time. Where is his, where is David's father? We know where to be found. But small boy, where is the King Saul himself? In verse 33, even King Saul said, "You are a small boy. You cannot do this thing." That's his king, for that matter. He had no understanding of the time. He doesn't understand anything. And look at what happened in verse 58. Verse 58. And Saul said to him, "Whose son are you, young man?" Destiny Destroyer, that is the way they celebrate people. He's the same person that looked down this small boy. But this small boy came back with the head of Goliath in his hand. And he began to show keen interest in him. He said, "Whose son are you? You are so marvelous. Whose son are you? I want to have a relationship with you. Introduce yourself to me." Before, he didn't ask anything about this boy. He just looked at him, this one wants to die. But when he came back with the head of Goliath, he showed interest in him now. He said, "Look, you have done marvelously. Whose son are you? I am going to honor you and your family and all of that." And that's the way it is. People who want to destroy your destiny, if you don't listen to them, they are the people that will go and begin to announce what you have done. It is my prayer that you not give in to the hands of Destiny Destroyer in Jesus' name. Another person, blind Bartimaeus, in the book of Mark chapter 10, 46 to 52. Blind Bartimaeus, he heard about Jesus and he cried out aloud. He said, "Son of David," and the people said, "Shut up, keep quiet." And what did he do? The Bible says, he cried out loud the more. He made his noise louder. He had an understanding of the time. This is my time. I cannot miss it. Nobody is going to stop me. Don't let anybody stop you. You must have the understanding of the time. Are you a young fellow? Are you a parent? Whatever category you are, don't let anybody stop you. You must have understanding of the time. When God says this is your time, it's your time. Nobody can stop you. The only person that can stop you is yourself. As long as you don't allow anybody to stop you, nobody can stop you. And this blind Bartimaeus said, he cried out the more. And after he got his miracle, those people say, "Oh, what a lucky guy." He said, they comfort him. You know, they cheer him up. He's a very lucky guy. The same people that told him to be quiet. It's the same people that are now celebrating him. And that is what Destiny Destroyer, that's what they are capable of doing. If he had given it, his destiny would have been destroyed. That is one chance he had. If he had missed it, maybe he would remain blind for the rest of his life. Praise the Lord. And the last thing I want to quickly, I have two more. Be more prayerful. You must be more prayerful. You must be watchful in prayer. If you are not prayerful, you are not watchful in prayer, you cannot discern the time. Because the time we are talking about, it is not something you can see with your physical eyes. God has to give you a revelation. God has to guide you. So you must be prayerful. And this is one of the greatest problems that we have in church today. People are not praying. They spend less time in the place of prayer. And when it's time to pray, people even complain. They spend less time. When it's time to have fun, people can forget themselves there. When it comes for prayer, they start complaining. We'll stay too long. The Lord will deliver all of us in Jesus' name. Amen. Last thing, make God's work a priority. Make God's work a priority. Make God's work a priority. John chapter 9, verse 4. He said, "I must work the works of him who sent me while it is day. The night is coming when no one can work." Make God's work a priority. One of the One of the things that I always tell God when I was facing that kind of situation back in Nigeria, I want to tell us that I'm not one of the people that wanted to leave Nigeria. So what was happening did not affect me at all. So don't think that's why I ran to her. No way at all. And in fact, I did not even want to leave. So the record is there at the embassy. Even the way I talked to them, they just gave me the visa. What is wrong with this one? Because I didn't even want to leave. Because I wanted to leave if God wanted me to leave. So if God didn't want me to leave, I didn't want to know, because I know I would go and suffer if I go there when God is not asking me. It doesn't matter what everybody was saying. So I didn't even want to leave. But what am I trying to say here? One of the things I always tell God is that when I'm not working, I spend most of my time for the things of God. So, and I say, God, you know the way you order my step. You know where I'm at any point in time. So I don't just leave my work and go to party or do anywhere. God, watch over me, because I am within your plan. I'm within your program. So when you operate like that, you have boldness even to talk to God in the place of prayer. But when you don't operate like that, you can't. If you're in the wrong place, how will you even be able to talk to God? Because you know your conscience will be worrying you that you are not in the right place. You are not doing the right thing. Praise the Lord. So John 9:4, the Bible says, I must work the works of him who sent me while it is day. The night is coming when no one can walk. So there is a time. There is a time to walk. You cannot choose to do God's work when you want. When you have to do it when God wants. You must do it at the right time, when it's going to be acceptable. We are talking about acceptable praise. Something that God is going to accept. When I am hungry now and there is no food, now I now find something else to eat and I'm full. You now bring one delicious food to me after. I will just play around with it, because I will not appreciate it at that point in time, because I was no longer hungry. The time I would have appreciated is the time I was really, really hungry. I will appreciate it at that point in time. So God has his own timing. You cannot do it when it is convenient for you. You do it even when it is not convenient for you. That's what God is looking for. But we're in a church today that people want to work for God when it is convenient for them. Even there are times that you have to cancel your own personal engagement. You have to cancel your own personal engagement. If you have not gotten to that point and you are working with God, you are not discerning the time. We read it. I just told you the story, testimony of a brother who canceled his own personal engagement. His own personal engagement was going to stand in the way. He said, no, God first. This is a soul that God wants. So if you always put your own personal engagement before God, then you are doing what is wrong before God. The Lord will help you. The Lord will help me in Jesus' name. Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 1. It tells us that remember the Lord your God in the days of your youth, before difficult times come. If you place these two scriptures parallel, John chapter 9, verse 4, it's saying about the same thing. The right time, the right time. It doesn't matter your age, either you are an adult or you are a child. There's a right time to serve God. There's a right time to do things for God. Praise the Lord. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 5. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 5. Anybody that is there can quickly read that for us. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 5. We are rounding up shortly. 4, verse 5. So, do the work of evangelism. Evangelists. So God wants us to reach out to people. Evangelize. Every opportunity you have, evangelize. It's not until you carry the Bible and you go from house to house every day. But let your life be a life of evangelism. Put that in your mind, that's what you want to be. Then God will open doors. So that will guide everything that you do. Your conversation, your communication with people. Everything you do, you're going to be guided as such, because you have that mindset. Praise the Lord. Luke chapter 9, verse 1 to 2. He said, then he called his 12 disciples together and gave them power and authority over all demons and to cure the sick. He sent them to preach the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. And similarly, Luke chapter 10, verse 1 to 3. Luke 10, 1 to 3. Say, after this thing, the Lord appointed 70 others also, and sent them two by two before his face into every city and place where he himself was about to go. Then he said to them, the harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray that the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. Praise the Lord. So I just want to encourage us this morning as we begin to round up. God has called you, God has called me for evangelism, to reach out to people and let us live that life on a daily basis. Every opportunity that comes for you to preach the gospel, do so. You may be out there having fun. Remember that at the back of your mind. Opportunity can come. Position yourself as such and have that mindset. And many a time, make conscious effort too. Make plan for it. It's not only when you suddenly stumble on somebody. Pray about it consciously in your mind and say, you want to do this at a particular time. And as you do that, God will honor, every step that you take in Jesus' name. Let's be on our feet as we pray. We have been looking at understanding of the times. Understanding of the time. So you're going to pray two prayer. The first prayer, say, Lord, let me not miss my time of divine visitation. Let me not miss my time of divine visitation. Understand the time for God to order your step to be in the right place at the right time. That you will not miss your time of divine visitation. Pray, pray, pray. In the name of Jesus, Almighty Father, Lord, I commit myself unto you and I join my faith with all my brethren this morning. Please, Lord, let us not meet, oh God, our time of divine visitation in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, help us. Lead us, oh God, Lord, to be in the right place at the right time, oh Lord, that when your divine visitation comes, let us not miss it. Let us not be wrongly positioned, oh Lord, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you, our Father. In Jesus' name we are praying. Isaiah 6 verse 8. He said, also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send? Who will go for us? Then I said, here I am, send me. Pray unto God, Father, let me always be available for you. In the name of Jesus, that you always be available for him. God is looking for people who are available. Ask that the Lord will grant you that grace to be available for him at all times. In the name of Jesus, to be ever ready. Almighty Father, it is my outcry this morning, oh Lord. Let me always be available for you, oh Lord. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that when you are looking for people to send, let me not be missing, oh Lord. In the name of Jesus, I pray for all my brethren. Let us be available for you, oh Lord. Lord, we thank you. We appreciate you. In Jesus' name, we have prayed. Praise the Lord.
Let's give the Lord a hand. Let's give the Lord a hand. Let's give the Lord a hand. Understanding the time. I want to believe we have been blessed richly by that message. And it's my prayer that the Holy Spirit